Christians can have fun, can't they? We can laugh and cut up. And well, Brother Oscar asked me to be ready last week just in case our precious sister from Africa only had a few things. You know what? God does all things well. Yes. Because some of the changes that were made. My mic is on. Everything. Oh. Now it is.
Now it's loud, too.
Okay. So anyway, so you know, he thought, well, maybe you could get started. And I said, well, I'll just go ahead. But it reminded me of a little story of this brand new pastor coming into this town to be the new pastor. And he was met by the deacon there at the door to get a key. And he wanted to kind of get a feel for the congregation. He said, brother, he said, what do you think the people would like me to preach about? And the deacon looked at him with a real serious look and said, about 15 minutes. Yeah, well, sorry, guys, it's not going to be 15 minutes today. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just thank you for this body, Lord, these people here, Lord. Lord, like Levine's been on my mind a lot, and the baby, and just all of these needs, Lord, Father. And we just thank you that you are a big God. You're going to speak right now through me. Use my mouth, and you're going to speak a word of comfort, Lord. Yes. And, Lord, people will be changed in Jesus' name. Amen. Give us ears to hear what you'd have, what you would say today, Lord. The title, it's always difficult coming up with a title because there's so many ways and so many things that you feel the Lord has impressed upon your heart. But this title, I changed one word, Margaret. It's now enter into his rest. You know, I think sometimes we miss out on things because, you know, we think, the church even indoctrinates us in some circles to think about the future. You know, all this eschatology and all this these future events. It is amazing when you read the Bible how much has been already accomplished. I mean, really, it's almost all of it. You might plead a case that it's all been accomplished. But there are natural and spiritual forms of rest, right? Okay. And I think they're both, if you're a child of God, I think they're both intertwined. I think both of them are important. And I think hopefully you're going to hear today where you might see what rest is and understand it a little bit more. I know I did when I did this study. And also stay there. Stay in that rest. And once you get there, stay there. Don't go in and out. Just go in and stay in, you know. And that's not easy to do. I'll tell you, I had a week this week. I couldn't practice what I'm preaching here today. There were times I went out. I mean, the stress and the pressure got so intense that I, like, felt my blood pressure going up. I felt the insides even start doing things that shouldn't be doing, you know. And I started seeing things come up that I didn't like. You know, and I stopped and I said, Lord, take this. This is not of you. I can tell it isn't of you. And I can honestly tell you, and this is, you know, this is the truth. Almost, not quite, but almost instantly a peace came. And it was a rest that I felt myself into. So I think he wanted me to get way out there and then bring me back in to really see the difference between the two. Because it's easy to see, but it's wonderful to be in his rest. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. You know, I when I think of rest as a child, I thought of, you know, my mom and dad, since it's summertime, all the vacations we took. And I've been blessed to be in 48 of the 50 states. I'm missing, of all things, Rhode Island and Alaska. Those are the only two I've missed. So I'm going to hit those eventually. But we used to, my mom and dad loved going out west to the mountains, to Colorado and Utah and all that. And I mean, we travel in 3 weeks over 3,000 miles. I mean, my dad was like a dog on a bone. He wanted to see this place, and he wouldn't let go until we saw it all. And, you know, and so my point is getting to the rest. You know, we would travel 3,000 miles, and never did I once fear that he was going to fall asleep. I didn't even think about it. Never did I once think, we're going to be in a wreck. Never did I once do anything but get in the back of the station wagon and rest. Or the other thing is my brother and I'd get in the back seat and play cross the line game. Y'all done that before where mom and dad would say, you sit on this. Because, I mean, we would travel through Kansas and it would be hours and hours and hours of nothing. And if you weren't sleepy, you had to just deal with cornfield after cornfield. But there's an imaginary line in the middle of the seat, and if you cross over it, the guy got to hit you. So now, can you imagine 3,000 miles of that? No. My mom and dad were saints, let me tell you. But guess what? Even as a kid, you know, I never worried about where that next meal was coming. Never worried about, you know, are we going to be thrown out of our house? I mean, it was just rest, just total rest. And I didn't even know it was rest. I just thought I had great parents. I mean, and if you've had great parents, then you know exactly what I'm talking about. If you didn't, God bless you. You've turned out awesome because you're here today. So, but anyway, why did they do that? Well, first of all, it was their job, right? I mean, isn't it the job of the parents to take care of your kids? Second of all, they did it because they loved us, you know? And you may think this is a little off, but God has a job too, and that's to love us, and that's to take care of us, and that's to allow us into his rest. That is what he's asking you to do today and stay there. He wants to love us, provide for us, grow us up in Christ according to his good pleasure of his will, of his perfect will. And believe me, whatever he's begun in you, he will complete. And since we're talking now, can I say it's completed? We are complete in Christ. Isn't that what the Bible says? Okay, so we're completed. Praise the Lord. That should get you excited today. This is how much he loves us, having predestined us into the adoption of children. Just like you love your kids, my mom and dad love me, by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Do you realize that it makes the Lord happy to call you his son or his daughter, that you're his kid? You can't imagine, just as proud of you as you are of your kids, he's proud of you as his. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So here we go. This is his good pleasure. Don't you want to make him happy? Okay, good. All right, here's six telltale signs that you're in need of God's rest. Now, if you're totally in God's rest 24/7, then you can sleep. Okay. All right, the first one. I never allow myself to appreciate or enjoy the things in my life that were going great. Nothing seems to satisfy, and I'm too hard on myself. We're not asking for hands. I pray that God would change someone else instead of changing me. There's no rest in that, let me tell you. God puts us purposely at work, and can I say family? Can I say family? Individuals who challenge us or who get under our skin. But I have to ask you a question. Like David, Nathan said to David, are you that man? Are you the one that they're talking about saying, you're the one that, oh man, Rich, man, he's just, geez, at these family reunions, we have such a little family that we don't even see each other hardly at all, but are you that one? You have to ask yourself that question. If you are, then you need to keep listening. And I said there's six. Why? Because six is the number of man. Okay. I sweat the small stuff. I let things bother me that really aren't important. I'm a worrier. I worry about everything. Man, I just feel exhausted most of the time. I get upset easily and offended easily. Okay, if you just said a maybe yes to any of those, keep listening. Hebrews 4, if you want to turn to that. There's so many scriptures I'd like to go over because it just relates exactly to the message, but I'm going to try to hold back a little bit here. But this is really good. Hebrews 4, I'm reading it in the Amplified. It says, therefore, while the, please listen because this will set you free. While the promise of entering his rest still remains and is freely offered today, let us fear in any case any of you may seem to come short of reaching it, or think he has come too late. For indeed we have had, past tense, the good news of salvation preached to us. Just as the Israelites also, when the good news of the promised land came to them. But the message they heard did not benefit them because it was not united with faith. It was not united with faith in God by those who heard. For we who believe, that is, who personally trust and confidently rely on God, enter the rest. So that right there tells you what you have to do. You know, all he's asking for you to do is trusting in him all the time. And lean not on your own understanding. Go all the way to Proverbs 3. And confidently rely on him. And there's the rest. So we have inner peace now because we are confident in our salvation and assured of his power. Without the power, you can't do it. It's impossible. As I swore an oath in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. The Israelites, because of doubt, unbelief, not trusting, all the things we just said, they did not. A group of them did not enter into the promised land. This he said, although his works were complete from the foundation of the world, waiting for all those who believe. He's waiting for all of us to believe. Hebrews 3:14 says, for we believers have become partakers of Christ, sharing in all that the Messiah has for us, if only we hold firm to our newborn confidence, which originally led us to him. Now remember that time when you were led to the Lord. You didn't think a lot about it. You just knew it was the right thing to do. You just wanted to do it. There was that desire in your heart. Today, while there's still an opportunity, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as when they provoked me in the rebellion at the desert in Meribah. We studied in Meribah. It's what? Strife, contentiousness, and whatever. That's that city of Meribah. Skip down to 19. It says, so we see that they were not able to enter into his rest, the promised land, because of unbelief and unwillingness to trust God. So that's how you, when you're not in it, when you're not in the rest, that's where you're at. You made a decision. I'm preaching to myself. I'm not preaching any condemnation at all, but that's what it says, okay? Unbelief and unwillingness to trust God. Well, I trust God. You know, I guess most of the time, because there's times I'm not in his rest. And that's the barometer right there. You have to check yourself at that point and say, what am I not trusting him about? What is going on in my life that I think I can do a better job? You know, have you ever thought about quitting something? You know, kids do all the time. They have a bad football practice or basketball practice or something. It's like, I just want to quit. Okay? So, you know, it may be college. Maybe quit on a relationship. It may be, oh, hopefully you don't do this, quit on a dream. You know, maybe God gave you a word and it hasn't come to pass. Don't quit on it. Don't quit on it. I was told down in Elmwood, at the church down in Elmwood, I was told that I would be on a second honeymoon. I was going through stuff in my first marriage. I'd have a second honeymoon in November. That was a word that was given to me. I ended up getting divorced, and I thought, well, wonder if she really heard from God. And then I forgot about it because I figured, well, apparently she didn't because I'm divorced. Guess what? Julie and I got married in October, but guess where the honeymoon was? November. I mean, seriously, his word will not come back void. Not ever. If you're stressed out and overwhelmed, it's a sure sign that you're not at rest. Why do we insist on doing things ourselves when he's already promised us that if we cast our cares upon him, he'll take them. He'll take every one of them. There's not a care you have or a concern or anything. Jesus went through it all, let me tell you. Yes, he was without sin. Yes, he was perfect. But he knows what that feels like to be overwhelmed. He knows what that feels like to be stressed out. How much more stress could a body take when you sweat drops of blood? That's not just physical, that's mental too. That's emotional, that's everything. You're including it all in there. It's not just good enough to hear, you have to mix it with faith. Isn't that what the word said? Our Father is more than capable of handling every situation you face. Is God in control? We say it. Do we mean it? I believe he is. The word rest is to cause or permit one to cease from any movement or labor in order to recover and collect his strength. Now that sounds like a natural, but I could also say that's a spiritual definition too. It says to keep quiet of calm and patient expectation. The root of that word is to make to cease or desist. So whatever's causing you to be not in rest with him, stop it. Just stop it. I know that's easier said than done, but I mean, that's what you have to do. But it says to cease or desist, have gotten a release from sin, no longer stirred by its incitements and seductions. In the Marines, I wasn't in the military. God bless all those that were. But in the Marines, there's a thing called HOOA. Whoever was asleep is now awake. You ever heard that? HOOA! Okay, do you know what that means? I didn't. It means if a sergeant is giving a command, an order, or whatever. HOOA means when he's, instead of saying this, they say HOOA. I heard it, I understand it, and I acknowledge it. I heard it, I understand it, and I acknowledge it. I like to turn it a little bit, just to tweak it a little bit and say, I hear it, I understand it, now I'm going to act on it. Okay, now I'm going to act on it. Faith without works is dead. Those are the kind of works we're talking about, not dead works. Okay, big difference. So this HOOA thing got me to Mark 4:24. It says, if any man has ears to hear, let him be listening and let him perceive and comprehend. Yeah. It's not just hearing the word. You got to take it in. Yeah. Put it all the way as deep as you can put that word, and it will spring forth in a harvest. That's verse 23, Mark 24. And he said to them, Jesus speaking, be careful what you are hearing. The measure of thought and study you give to the truth you hear will be the measure of virtue and knowledge that comes back to you. And more besides will be given to you who hear. For to him who will more be given. And from him who has nothing, even what is he has will be taken away. Do you believe the promises are for now? That's a question. Are you ready to take now for an answer? Because if you do, there's a lot that comes with it. Verily, verily, John says in 5:25, I say unto you, that means truly, truly. I can't tell you something that's more true than what I'm about to tell you. He repeats himself, verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is. Okay, when did Jesus walk the earth? Okay, it wasn't last week, it wasn't last month. He walked the earth. How many thousands of years ago? The hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Wow. A lot of these scriptures you've heard a million times, but in this context it really spoke to me. Okay, without faith it's impossible to please him, correct? For he that cometh to God must believe that he
is,
present tense, and a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So he is present. Don't worry about the future. Past is gone. Today, now, is the time of salvation. He is present right now. Psalms 46:1 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. Very present. It's present. It's now. It's not some other time down the road. Let's not miss out on what God wants. You have a hearing, you're hearing. And even if this is some of this stuff I'd read a million times, but it just got to me a little bit more because I really heard it some of this this week and last week. Romans 6:8 says, now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. So that's the one we just read. Now is the judgment of the world. Now this one will get your attention. Now is the judgment of the world, and now shall the prince of this world be cast out. So why do we even talk about an enemy or whatever? He's made him a footstool. He's put him under his feet. We resurrect him and give him power as a body of Christ. We don't do it here, but in some circles they do. Oh, here's a good one. Romans 13:11, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation nearer than we ever believed. You know, when the Lord put Adam in a fast sleep, took the rib out of him, made Eve, next chapter, verse, book, whatever, never said they woke him up. So guess what? That's us. We need to wake up. And we wake up, in those cases, little by little. We woke up when we got saved. We woke up when we got baptized. We woke up when we got baptized in the Spirit. A little more, 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 more. Precept upon precept, line upon line. I love this word salvation. It says deliverance, preservation. I mean, these are great things that we should, these are ours. Oh, my gosh, I am so sorry. Okay. I'm fired? Okay. The good stuff's coming. So don't fire me now. Okay. Deliverance, preservation, safety, salvation. Anybody not want all four of those? Salvation as, now this is what this said. This is not me writing. Most of this is the Bible. This is in the Strong's. Salvation as the present possession of all true Christians. Present, 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 today, now. Then it goes on, future salvation, and I'm just going to stop there. What I'm about to read, I don't believe is future salvation. I have to take issue with Strong's, and you can shout me down, but just love me, you know. The sum of benefits and blessings which the Christians redeemed from all earthly ills will enjoy after the visible return of Christ. I'm sorry, but Christ, how many times did Christ return after the resurrection? I mean, he was walking the earth for 40 days, day of Pentecost. He showed up again for you. There is nowhere in the Bible it says second coming. It's not in the Bible. The second coming, it's nowhere to be found. So, I mean, he's always coming to us. And so it says, visible return of Christ from heaven in the consummated and eternal kingdom of God. But this is why I get to that, to say this. The root is to save, keep safe and sound, to rescue from danger or destruction, to save a suffering one from perishing. One suffering from disease, to make well, heal, restore to health. Doesn't it say that he will quicken our mortal bodies? The spirit that lives in us will quicken your mortal body? And I'm not sitting there saying, you know, why? I don't want to get into this, you know, age and someone getting older and whatever, you know. But I'm just preaching Bible here, you know. It will quicken your mortal body. So what they're saying here is in Scripture. To make well, heal, restore to health. I'm praying that for Levine. Restore. I want to see her. Sometimes she sits back there. Sometimes I want to see her and Ronnie next week. I'll just say that, okay? And I want to see that baby. I haven't met that baby yet, but I want to see that baby soon as possible. Okay. To save from the evils which obstruct the reception of the messianic deliverance. Did you get that? I had to read that a couple times. To save from the evils which obstruct, something's obstructing your flow with the Lord. Okay? It shouldn't. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. That's what binds us. And the church needs to get away from that. You know, that's prominently in some churches, and it's time to get away from that. But if the Spirit of him that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by the Spirit that dwell in you. So sometimes if you're praying for someone's healing, just speak to that body instead of speaking to God. God will allow you to speak to that body in the name of Jesus. You know, right? I mean, is that right? Okay. I'm going to take another little bit of liberty, and I'm going to say this. What we need is a lot of now faith to believe the word of God. The word faith is only found twice in the Old Testament. Isn't that amazing? It's found all over the New, but it's only found twice in the Old. Okay. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Okay. Now, that word now, I will tell you, it's a conjunction, you know, meaning coming to that. But I'm going to change it. I'm going to say the word now. There's two definitions, and in the Scripture, there were two definitions in the same Scripture. I'm going to say in the one that's now faith is the substance of things in Hebrews 11:1 is Ada, which is G2235, and that means, or I'm sorry, it's day is 1161, which is a conjunction meaning moreover or but, okay? But I looked up the other word for now, and it's 2235 ada, and that means now or already. And I'm going to change the definition there just for emphasis, that now faith, that's what we need, now faith. Not faith that we had a year ago. I mean, you've experienced this, I know I have, where someone goes to church all the time. Man, when that door is open, they're in church. And it just seems like something happens to them and they get prayed for and nothing happens. And then you get someone that comes to church the very first day and then boom, the power of the Lord hits them and they get a miraculous healing that day. I think it's because they come with that childlike faith that says, well, someone told me that this guy's a healer. You know, they don't even know who God is, but they get healed because their faith is so strong that says, I'm going to get healed. That's what they told me. I believe it. So let's make it happen. And that doesn't mean that the other people don't have faith. That doesn't mean that at all. That just means that sometimes we just don't want to overanalyze God or overthink it. Let's just come in with that childlike faith and see what he has for you, you know? Because I've had stuff go on for years, and, you know, sooner or later, I think God will do what he's going to do. His perfect will come to pass in your life and in mine. Okay, the word now. The Greek lexicon says that, this is really good, the Greek lexicon says that all things were now finished. All things. That's what it says in the Thayer's Greek lexicon. All things were now finished, and that nothing further remained for him to do or to suffer. I didn't write this. That is already time to wake up, indulge no longer in sleep. The root is truth and certainty. This is what now means. You can be certain that Jesus provided it all. Is there anything you need that he hasn't provided? It says, I will supply all your need according to his riches and glory. It doesn't say all your wants. You need nothing but him. He is the way, the truth, and the life. It's the whole package. It's everything. There's nothing left. There's nothing that he missed out. Oh, man, guys, he didn't catch that one, did he? No, he caught it all, and he paid it all so that you don't have to pay it because you couldn't have paid it anyway. I couldn't have paid it anyway. None of us could have paid it. So don't try to live your life on yesterday's faith. Now faith is what we need today. And then that word time is a kairos. That's an opportune or a seasonable time. It's the right time in his time frame. So don't you think it's high time we take now for an answer? Don't you agree with that? To enter his rest, we need to hear the word, understand the word, mix in some faith, now faith, and we are changed into the image of Christ. And when we see him as he is, we will be like him. We will be like him. That's a powerful, powerful scripture. I mean, look at you now versus 10 years ago. Some of you have been saved 50 years. Look at you then and look at you now. Look how far you've come. And that's not to take any pride in that. That's just to give all the glory to him because he did it. Hebrews 13:14, we continue to share in all that Christ has for us so long as we steadily maintain until the end the trust with which we began. Last point I want to make is the word hath, H-A-T-H. Is that past tense, present tense, or future tense? Past tense. Hath means it already happened, right? There's a lot of scriptures that talk about hath. And I'm not a big King James person, but for this purpose, it's really cool. The Lord gave me this thing on hath as far as an acronym on hath. It says, having access to him. If you believe in this finished work that Christ did for us, if you believe that, you have more and more and more access to Him. You know, the Bible says if you draw close to Him, He'll draw close to you. But you have to believe. You have to have that faith that this is a finished work. You know, God's done all the heavy lifting. His yoke is easy, His burden is light. He's done all the heavy lifting. So let Him continue. He has raised us together and sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I'm going to read a little bit of Ephesians because it really brings this home. Blessed be the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is Ephesians 1, verse 3. Who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Did it say 90% of the spiritual blessings? It says all. As we say all in the radio program, all means all, and that's what all means. You know, it means nothing less, and it means it all. Okay, and then you read on verse 4 and get ready because this is where some of these heavenly blessings are coming. According, He hath chosen us in Him before the foundations of the world. I mean, think about that. You've been chosen before He even created heaven and earth, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Well, we already know we can't do that of our own ability. Having predestined us to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself according to the good pleasure of His will. We're kids. We're His kids. Colossians 2. I wish I could read the whole thing. Please read this in the message. Please, please, please read all of Colossians 2 in the message. I would love to take time and do that, but it's, you know, a whole chapter, but I'm going to read parts. It says, I want you woven into a tapestry of love, in touch with everything there is to know of God. Then you will have minds confident and at rest. Okay, there it is, right here. I'm going to read that again. I want you woven into a tapestry of love. That means everything you do is love. Wherever you go is love. You're weaving yourself in with others like-minded, and it creates more of a tapestry. And it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And then that tapestry just covers people up, and they feel the love. And there's nothing they can do to escape it. They're captivated at that point. They're not captivated by addictions and whatever. They're captivated by Jesus Christ. Then you will have minds confident and at rest. Focus on Christ. That's where our focus has to be. God's great mystery. And we know that. The mystery that's been hidden from the beginning of earth is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And we've been shown the mystery. We've got it. I'm telling you this because I don't want anyone leading you off on some wild goose chase after other so-called mysteries. And then I'll just go ahead and read the next two verses. My counsel for you is simple and straightforward. I like simple and straightforward because it's not complicated. I like it simple. Just go ahead with what you've been given. You received Christ Jesus the Master. Now live Him. Not live with Him, live Him. Difference. Live Him. You're deeply rooted in Him. You're well constructed upon Him. You know your way around the faith. Now do what you've been taught. School's out. Quit studying the subject and start living it. And let your living spill over with thanksgiving. Man, just keep, go and read that. I've got the rest of it, but you know, I don't want to keep going. The closer you get to Him, the more rest you experience. He is our tower, our high, our refuge, our high tower. Why do you think the Bible uses a reference of a high tower? Well, whenever there were battles, the higher up you got, the more you could see them coming. So it's pretty simple math here. But if he's our high tower, we sing the song we run into and we are saved. He's our high tower. He's our refuge. He's our strength. He's everything. He's everything to us. Make sure, we're talking about the now, make sure you don't take the old into the new. Leave the new. People talk, oh, I can't wait for revival. I don't mind the word revival. I don't particularly like it as well as God's going to do a new thing. He's not resurrecting some old move that he had years ago or whatever. We're at a time right now where he's going to be doing things differently. Differently. And those different things are going to be awesome. They're going to be better because God always improves, doesn't he? All the younger people are saying, yeah, he's improved. I'm the youngest one here and I'm the most improved. No. Father, that where our eyes have been trained to see one way, you are now aligning our eyes. You are aligning our senses to the multifaceted glory of who you are. That's our hope. To see that. He will remove the ceiling. He's going to remove your ceiling and cause that which has held you in the past to be dealt with so you can enjoy and live in the now. Let's get rid of that last day's mentality and let's take on a new day mentality. New day. That's more exciting, isn't it? I mean, Jesus said back in the days, we're in the last days. Well, guess what? It's time for a new day. The last days have been around for thousands of years. Let's have a new day. And that's exactly what he's doing. He's preparing the new day. I read this. I thought it was really cool. A lecturer was giving a lecture to his students on stress management. He raised the glass of water and asked the audience how heavy. Boy, this is not just a glass. I looked for a glass back there. If you're looking for a glass back in the kitchen, you're not going to find it because I looked high and low. So this is all I could find. So it says, the professor said, how heavy do you think the glass of water is? Okay. The students answered ranging from 20 grams to 500 grams. I guess they were in England. It does not matter on the absolute weight. It depends on how long you hold it. So right now, it's not heavy at all. Come back next Sunday, and I'm still standing here holding this. Call the men in the white suits. It will carry our burdens all the time. Sooner or later, we will not be able to carry on. Okay? The burden becomes increasingly heavier. Have you all experienced that? Where you're up here and then end of the week you're down here or beginning, whatever. Yeah. It becomes heavier the longer we hold it. What you have to do is to put the glass down and rest. Put it down. Put all your burdens down. In fact, we sang the song, Cynthia sang, we lay it all down again, knowing that you're my friend. We lay it down. How do we do that so that we can be refreshed and be able to carry on? We roll all those burdens on him. We have to believe that he will take care of every one of them. And he will take them from us if we offer them to him. He will not only take them, but he wants to take them from you. He wants you free and unencumbered from stuff. As you can fellowship with him, he will do amazing things. And he's doing amazing things. And I'll just end with this. I I have a friend, he and his wife live in Tulsa, and we were talking about now, okay, and how important now is. He's had Alzheimer's for about 9 months, and it's at its advanced stages now, and she wrote a post on Facebook, and, you know, basically, they've been married, gosh, 38 years or something like that, 40 years, and basically, they're at the point now where they can't even enjoy a dinner out together. And she just ended her post by saying, you know, take each day and cherish it with your friends, with your family, you know, even your job. I mean, sometimes I complain about my job. It's like I need to keep my mouth shut and find ways to enjoy it. Clyde would always say, I get to go to work, not I have to go to work. I get to go to work. So it really touched me. I wept when I read it because it was just, she's a believer. They're both believers. But it's just that helplessness that with Alzheimer's, there was nothing that she could do but just care for him. And that, I believe, is when Jesus said, what you've done to the least of them, you've done unto me. And I believe that's what she's doing. And She's going to be blessed abundantly for that faithfulness to her husband. And we just need to enjoy every day. So that's all I got. Thank you. Yeah.
Praise the Lord. That was an excellent message today. If you all stand, we'll close in a word of prayer. If anybody would like prayer, we'd be glad to pray with you before we leave. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your words, for truly they are spirit and life. And Father, help us to live in the now and not live in the past or in the future, but as your word declares, now, if you'll hear his voice. Yes. And Father, help us to hear your voice each and every day and move forward in you. And accomplish that which you'd have us accomplish. And Father, we'll be most careful to give you the praise and the glory. And I ask you to just bless your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise God.